We're reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. From chapter 41, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. And we'll just read some verses. Iti uta chodaya masa syandanam bandini sutta Mathura naniyatramam krishnan charadinachaya. With these words, Akrura, the son of Gandini, began driving the chariot onward. At the end of the day, he arrived in Mathura with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna. Margigrama janarajams tatra tatra pasangata vasudeva suttaviksha pratadristin nachadaru. Wherever they passed along the road, O king, the village people came forward and looked upon the two sons of Vasudev with great pleasure. In fact, the villagers could not withdraw their eyes from them. Tavat vrajokasastatra nandagopadayogata puropavanam masaja pratiksanto vatashire. Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan, having reached Mathura ahead of the chariot, had stopped at a garden on the outskirts of the city to wait for Krishna and Balaram. It is said that although the chariot of Akrura was much faster than the bullock carts of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, Akrura came over the road, and Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they went inside just through a shortcut, and therefore they reached much earlier. So they were already there waiting for Krishna and Balaram to arrive. So finally they all came together and they joined, and Krishna and Balaram, or Krishna said, Bhavan pravisatam magre sahaya dhya purim griham vayantea ivaha muchate tattu drakshamade purim. Lord Krishna said, take the chariot and enter the city ahead of us, then go home. After resting here for a while, we will go to see the city. So Krishna and Balaram wanted to go and see the city of Mathura. And it is described that the Lord saw Mathura with its tall gates and household entrances made of crystal, its immense archways and main doors of gold, its granaries and other storehouses of copper and brass, and its impregnable moats. Beautifying the city were pleasant gardens and parks. The main intersections were fashioned of gold, and there were mansions with private pleasure gardens, along with guild halls and many other buildings. Mathura resounded with the calls of peacocks and pet turtle doves, who sat in the small openings of the lattice windows and on the gem-studded floors, and also on the columned balconies and on the ornate rafters in front of the house. Those balconies and rafters were adorned with vidurya stones, diamond, crystal, quartz, sapphires, coral, pearls, and emeralds. All the royal avenues and commercial streets were sprinkled with water, as were the side roads and courtyards and flower gardens. Newly grown sprouts, parched grains, and rice had been scattered about everywhere. Gracing the houses, doorways were elaborately decorated pots filled with water, which were bedecked with mango leaves, smeared with yogurt and sandalwood paste, and encircled by flower petals and ribbons. Near the pots were flags, rows of lamps, bunches of flowers, and the trunks of banana and betel nuts. So, we see a Mathura with incredible opulence. Gold, decorating streets, gates and archways of crystal, jewel decorations everywhere inlaid in the walls, in archways, peacocks, doves, beautiful parks and gardens. A very amazing place. This place, Mathura, is known to be the birthplace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who does not take birth. Kunti Devi is stating in Bhagavatam, how is it that you are known as one who takes birth and yet you are unborn? You are Aja. Krishna is Aja, one who does not take birth. Yet it is described that he appears in the city of Mathura. Mathura is an eternal place. It is also found in the spiritual sky. And it exists simultaneously with the Mathura in this world. When this world is annihilated, Mathura is still remaining. It is not at all destroyed. Mathura is always there. And in this Mathura, in this place, Krishna appears. It is said that long ago, there was a demon named Madhu. And this demon named Madhu, he had received a benediction of Lord Shiva. And he received a trident. And it said that whenever he would carry this trident, he could not be killed. So he gave that trident to his son, Lavanasura. So even after the father had departed from this world, the son was causing many great difficulties, Lavanasura. He was, at the time, criticizing Lord Ramachandra greatly for disturbing and killing Ravana and upsetting Lanka. So one day, it got too much. And many sages were complaining. And finally, Lord Ramachandra sent Satrughna, his brother, to kill him. But it didn't work. He tried so much, but he could not kill that demon. So then he's surprised. But then he found out it was because of that trident of Lord Shiva. But one sage mentioned to him that actually, when he goes hunting into the forest, then he leaves the trident behind. So then you challenge him in the forest. So Satrughna challenged him in the forest, had a fight, and killed the demon. So in this way, that forest became known as Madhuvan. So that place, Madhuvan, was the beginning of Mathura. And Mathura is then the place where so many pastimes took place. Krishna appears in Mathura again and again. Again and again, like Devaki Nandan, like the son of Devaki, like the son of Vasudev. In this way, Krishna appears in this world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appears with his helmet, he appears in forearms, he appears with dhoti, fully ornated with jewels and tilak. And his mother is very concerned. So it is upon the request of his mother, Devaki, that Krishna is hiding himself, because Krishna, Devaki, is afraid that Kamsa will come to kill Krishna. He has already killed so many of Devaki's children, so she is worried, of course, who can kill Krishna. But that she cannot see. Due to love, she cannot see. She cannot see the full perspective that he's not an ordinary child, but that he appears with four arms, and that in two arms he holds a club and a disc, and that he is adequately prepared to deal with demons. That she cannot see. So she says, please, don't stay in this form. Kamsa will certainly come and kill you. Kamsa, who is so powerful, will certainly kill you. Please take the form of a child. And so Krishna took the form of a child. The acharyas say that when Vasudev then took Krishna across the Yamuna to Vrindavan, that at that time Yasoda had also given birth. And Yasoda, she was due to the labor pains and not completely clear. And it is said that Yasoda had actually given birth to twins, although she wasn't fully aware of that. But she had given birth to a boy and a girl. So when Vasudev came, he exchanged the boy for the girl. He just took the girl and put the boy there. Then those two boys that remained behind became one. And in this way, Krishna is actually the son both of Devaki as well as the son of Yasoda. However, that Krishna is also the son of Yasoda is not widely known. It's only known to the devotees of the Lord. General people don't know. They only know Krishna appeared in Mathura. Such is Krishna. Mathura is undoubtedly an amazing place. When Krishna stayed in Vrindavan for so many years, then his parents were in captivity. They were in jail. They were kept in jail by Vaikans at that time. But Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan. When Krishna was 11 years old, then Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura. And he came to Mathura. Now it is described that Krishna, for his age, was quite mature. The acharyas described that although Krishna was 11, he looked much older. He looked at least 15 or 16. So when Krishna came into Mathura, all the young ladies of Mathura just became overwhelmed by the presence of Krishna. And Balarama walked through the streets and they went on the houses, on the roofs of the houses to see Krishna. And they were so much in a hurry, they didn't dress properly and all these things. Then many other things took place. Krishna and Balaram came across this washerman, the washerman who was carrying very opulent clothes. And it's described that these clothes were actually the clothes of Kamsa. So Krishna and Balaram told the washerman, you're carrying such nice clothes, why don't you offer some to us? The clothes were made of the finest silk, embroidered also with jewelry and so on. And he said, why don't you give some to us? And the washerman said, these are the clothes of the king. How can you speak like this? If you're not careful, you will be killed. And the washerman became more and more obnoxious. And to a point where Krishna finally, just with his fingers, just chopped off the washerman's head. Then they took the clothes, dressed themselves very nicely and appropriately, and also all the cowherd boys. And in this way, they were preparing for for the wrestling match. Because it is said, paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavami yuge. That Krishna appears in this world to protect his devotees and to annihilate the demons. So, in Krishna's purpose was that, to annihilate the demons, to annihilate Kamsa. So this is in progress. Slowly it is happening. So this washerman didn't last long. But then there were others who came. Others, there was a weaver who came, and he already, at the time of Lord Ramachandra, had made clothes which he wanted to offer to Lord Ramachandra, but he was not allowed to do so. So, finally, he got a blessing that in a future appearance, in the Dwapara Yuga, he would be allowed to dress the Lord with clothes made by his own hand. So now the time came, that weaver, he offered all kinds of clothes to Krishna. It said he even offered Krishna earrings and other decorations made of cloth, which was convenient for the wrestling match, you know, because jewels, they cut, so not so practical in a wrestling match. So Krishna was decorated with ornaments of cloth since he was going for a major fight. Then a friend of that weaver was the garland maker Sudama, who offered Krishna many nice garlands and sandalwood and other things. That garland maker actually used to go to Vrindavan regularly to collect flowers. So he had already met Krishna there before and made offerings to Krishna of the flowers. So that garland maker, he actually was already recognized by Krishna as a devotee. So at the end, he adorned Krishna with beautiful garlands, and Krishna and Balaram looked very nice in this way. And then the two lords offered the surrendered Sudama, who was bowing down before them, whatever benediction he desired. Then Sudama, he asked the Lord for the following. He asked for unshakable devotion. He asked for devotion that could not be destroyed by anything. Then he asked the Lord for friendship with his devotees. And he asked for transcendental compassion for all living beings. So this garland maker was very intelligent. What would we ask when imagine suddenly we would meet Krishna? Suddenly, unexpected, Krishna's there. What would we ask? It wouldn't be so easy. Well, Krishna, okay, give me love of God. But we can see that Sudama was thinking much deeper about the matter than we are. Alright, give me love of God. Very good. But he said, give me unshakable devotion. Unshakable. He knew Maya is very strong, so let me not be affected by anything. Unshakable devotion means love of God. Give me friendship with all the devotees and transcendental compassion for all living entities. So this is really very, very nice. If just this garland maker, who seems to be, in a way, a background personality. He's not like, there's not a whole chapter dedicated to the garland maker who offered some garlands to Krishna. But just see how profound his thinking is, and how important unshakable devotion, friendship with the devotees of the Lord, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. Not only did Lord Krishna grant Sudama these benedictions, but he also awarded him strength, long life, fame, beauty, and ever-increasing prosperity for his family. Then Krishna and his elder brother took leave. So we see that sometimes Krishna also gives material opulence to his devotees, so that they can practice their spiritual life undisturbed. But he will not give such kind of opulence to those who cannot handle the opulence, to those who become corrupted by opulence. Yasyaham anugrinami tadvanam harijesanai. It is said that Krishna sometimes he gives and sometimes he takes. Krishna takes away. Krishna takes away those things, those that interfere with our devotional service. When within us we have attachments to so many things in this world, and that then Krishna takes these things away. So therefore, Krishna is not giving us so much opulence, because in this age we are very weak. We don't have the same amount of jewels and gold and all these things, because if we would have, we might just forget Krishna. Therefore, no. Krishna keeps us in a certain condition of austerity. The reason why I wanted to go to Mathura is because Mathura is the gateway to Vrindavan. Mathura is where Krishna appears, and then he comes into this world in Mathura. Then he performs his more intimate pastimes in Vrindavan, where that same... But first, Mathura. It's said that actually when one starts the parikrama of Vrindavan, of the entire Vraj Mandal, that one must also begin in Mathura. And actually one begins in Mathura in one place known as Vishram Ghat. This Vishram Ghat is quite a special place in Mathura, because it is said that, first of all, when Lord Varaha was fighting with Hiranyaksha and finally killed Hiranyaksha, then after that Lord Varaha went to that place at the Yamuna, and he rested there. He took bath there and rested there. Although at that time there was no Mathura, there was only jungle, but he went to that place. Later, when Krishna killed Kamsa, Krishna again went to that same place and again rested there. Later, also when Krishna killed Dantavraka, again Krishna went to this Vishram Ghat and he also rested there again. So again and again, Krishna rests in this Vishram Ghat and takes his bath there. So because the Lord takes his bath there so many times, that place is especially blessed. It is said that the Yamuna in Vrindavan is many times more potent in terms of purity than the Ganga. It is said then especially at Kesi Ghat, if you take your bath at Kesi Ghat, that is many times more powerful than taking bath in the Ganga. But taking bath in Vishram Ghat in Mathura is 100 times more potent than taking bath in Kesi Ghat. Although Kesi Ghat is in Vrindavan and Vishram Ghat in Mathura. Therefore, we begin our parikrama by taking bath at the Vishramgat. It is our entrance point. So therefore, we begin in Mathura. We begin there on this Janmashtami. We begin invoking blessings. We looked at the opulence of Mathura, realizing it's not of this world. Realizing it is the spiritual world manifest on earth. Then we are going for blessings. So Vishramgat, because the blessings are 100 times stronger even in Kesigat. There we go. And because to approach Krishna, we require blessings. How else can one approach Janmashtami? Janmashtami is an opportunity to approach Krishna, to really enter into Krishna's reality. We are going to spend the time remembering various pastimes of Krishna over the next few days. Krishna's activities. And all these activities are actually taking us into Vrindavan. Because it is through remembering the activities of Krishna that we are getting entrance. As Jiva Goswami explains, that Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. So we are looking for blessings, just as Sudama received the benediction from the Lord and asked for unshakable devotion. I'll read the verse. Sudama chose unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence, friendship with his devotees, and transcendental compassion for all living beings. So like this, we are gradually preparing ourselves. In the next story, in the next chapter, Krishna is meeting Kuja. Kuja is a girl that is hunchbacked. Although she has a beautiful face, but somehow or other her back is quite curved. She is having this ointments for Kamsa, and she is, upon the request of Krishna, ready to offer these ointments to Krishna. In reciprocation, Krishna straightens her body by placing his lotus feet upon her feet and touching her chin and then pulling. And she becomes straight and very beautiful. And then immediately she is full of lusty desire because of the touch of Krishna. And even in public. And she doesn't care. Because she is affected by Cupid. And it is said there are 10 effects of Cupid, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti mentions. He said, first comes attraction expressed through the eyes, shakshuraga pratamam. Then intense attachment in the mind and heart. So first, attraction through the eyes. Then intense attachment in the mind and in the heart. Then determination. Then loss of sleep. Can't sleep anymore. Then becoming emaciated, right? Then disinterest in external things, can't do anything else anymore, totally disinterested, just totally obsessed. And finally, shamelessness, right? Shamelessness. So Kupja had come to that state of shamelessness, She didn't care. She was in the middle of the street approaching Krishna with lusty feelings. Everyone was laughing. The coward boys were watching. Balaram was looking at Krishna, was sort of speaking in indirect ways, trying to make it look as if he was sort of joking with her. But at the same time, also, he was satisfying her. It said, madness is coming. Finally, one becomes stunned when Cupid really hits. And when Cupid hits very hard, even death is possible. It said, although in relation to Krishna, death is somehow or other not happening. Yeah. But all these others, said, Krishna discovers, the tenth state of Cupid, death, is inauspicious in relation to Krishna. It does not usually manifest in Krishna's praying bhaktas. However, they do manifest the other nine symptoms, culminating in becoming stunned in ecstasy. So anyway, Kupcha was like this, totally overwhelmed. Love at first sight. So it's interesting. The other day I was reading a description of the appearance of Cupid, and it was interesting. It is said that suddenly Brahma found that a form had extended from himself. And he sort of looked at that form, and he had no idea who the form was. So he said to the form, "Who are you?" Then that form said, "I am Kamadev, Cupid. I am shooting arrows in the hearts of all living beings." And Brahma said, "Really?" And then Cupid began to shoot his arrows in all directions, and all the devas, all the demigods, they just became totally overwhelmed, and they just decided to develop all these various symptoms. They began to perspire, they became beyond themselves, until Brahma also became affected. And in this way, once Cupid manifested in the universe, Cupid turned out to be the most powerful in the entire universe. There was no... Even Brahma could not resist. Even Shiva was getting agitated by the effect of Cupid. There was no living entity who was not affected by the arrows of Cupid and who did not show symptoms in the body and in the mind. All of them were affected. So, therefore, it is said Cupid is the most powerful of all. Of course, we know that Krishna is Madan Mohan, the one who can bewilder even Cupid. And of course, here we are worshipping Krishna in that way, in that way. And still greater than Krishna is the devotee of Krishna, who can capture Krishna. And the greatest of all devotees is Srimati Radharani, Madan Mohan Mohini. So here we are in this for this Janmashtami, assembled to approach Krishna through Madan Mohan, who can steal away our mind from the affliction of Cupid. So the affliction of Cupid is very strong and can lead us, even devotees can be affected by such errors. Even the devotees are going astray. But by commitment to Krishna, committing ourselves, by focusing, by giving ourselves, by making offerings to Krishna, even if only for a day. Even if only for a day we are giving everything for Krishna. Even if only for a day we chant the whole day. Even if only for a day we cook the whole day. Even if only for a day we hear about Krishna the entire day. Even if only for a day we are intensely focusing on Krishna, then we will find that our relationship with Krishna has become so much nourished and strengthened. And we realize that this Janmashtami is not just a festival where we get enlivened by the association and the devotees and the wonderful program for at least a few weeks until we need another festival to enliven us again, or a retreat, or a Rath Yatra, or something, you know, to get some new energy. No, we actually realize that if we really make a commitment just for a day to really get serious, then we realize that this Janmashtami makes a change in our spiritual life. That actually it's a permanent change, and that we are permanently coming closer to Krishna. And then each Janmashtami is another step closer to Krishna. Each Janmashtami brings us in more and more. And like this, again and again, we are celebrating Janmashtami. So now we are getting ready soon for an Adivas ceremony, which is our preparation. We begin to prepare for the upcoming festival. So my lecture is leading up to that ceremony. So within my lecture, I wanted to take us to the place of Krishna's birth, Mathura. I wanted us to appreciate how auspicious that place is. I wanted us to go for blessings. I wanted us to, took us to Vishramgat for blessings. And then I took us to Sudama, the garland maker, who asked for unshakable devotion, for friendship with the devotees, and who asked for compassion for all living beings. So may we be blessed by that meditation of Sudama. And then we are turning to Kubja. Kubja is one of those personalities in whom more than one person is manifest. It is said that Kubja is representing the earth that is afflicted, Bhumi, that is afflicted by all the weight of demoniac kings. So now that Krishna is on the way to Mathura, on the way to kill Kamsa, now that burden is being removed, and therefore the earth is now being restored in its original glories by Krishna. Therefore, Kubja is straightened. But also within the personality of Kubja, some other personalities are also manifest. We find this sometimes in the scriptures, description that within one person, several persons manifest themselves. Some think there are more than one soul present in one body. Others think that there is a predominant soul. which is then influenced also by all these other souls. That makes more sense. So Kubja also had an influence of Suparnaka, who was the sister of Ravana, who had approached Lord Ramachandra, because although Suparnaka was a Rakshasa, and although she was acting inappropriately towards Sita in particular, right, because when Ram said that he could not accept another woman because he had to take an Ekapatni the vow to accept one wife, then she was ready to attack Sita. But okay, so Laxman took action, and she had to suffer and all these things. But later on, she performed a great austerity because she still had a desire. She still had conjugal desires towards Lord Ramachandra. So then it was granted that in the next birth, those desires could be fulfilled. So Suparnaka was also manifest within Kukja, whatever may be. So even that is encouraging to us, because if any demoniac tendency is there in us, which might be there, then that will also be purified in the process, and will transform. So in our entrance before Krishna, we're bringing with us some impurity. We cannot expect that even if we fix ourselves a whole day in chanting, a whole day in service, that internally we suddenly become great and pure personalities. It's not so easy. But whatever may be, that all will be purified in due course of time. So this Janmashtami is particularly meant for us as an opportunity to connect with Krishna and service to Him very seriously. Because then it will be a great source of strength that will benedict us in our spiritual life. And then we build, and then we surrender in the next situation again. And in this way, we build up our spiritual strength. Because one cannot become Krishna conscious by a decision. From now I'm going to get serious. I've just decided that, I've been in Maya too long, and I've just decided that I'm done with that. I'm just done. I'm done with Maya. I don't want it anymore. I'm finished. Those are like the kind of good intentions on New Year's Eve, right? And how many days into January such good intentions last? So that is not the way. But to build up again and again and to surrender. So scripture says there is Nitya Kriya and Naimitika Kriya. Nitya Kriya means the daily devotional practice, and Naimitika Kriya means the exceptional devotional practice during special occasions. Right? So this it's said that Nitya Kriya, or the daily practices of devotional service, because it is every day, and because we are engaging in that practice only in the beginning stages, not with love, but out of duty. When we are practicing devotional service out of duty and out of knowledge, then sometimes we get mentally tired. So like, again, again chanting, I just finished the rounds. Gosh, I just finished them and now again. Huh? Then we need to, Naivitika Kriya is the special activity on a special occasion that brings new life and that we bring back to our everyday practice. So this Janmashtami can renew our everyday practice, bring new life. And at the same time, because we have for one day functioned on a higher level of surrender than usual, we've come one step closer to making that permanent. And that is the lasting effect. So with this meditation, we can begin our Janmashtami and kind of get ready to go to Sri Sri Madan Mohan, who can take away the influence of Cupid, even the demigods, even Lord Brahma. No living entity escaped. Definitely not us. We know these. We know what it's like when hit by Cupid, how one starts perspiring. We know these 10 symptoms that were described. We know them. But Madan Mohan can save us. So, therefore, I'm in now to stick to the schedule, and then we'll carry on with the Adivas. I think it's not really enough time to take questions now, so we'll leave it as it is. Thank you very much, and I hope everyone will have a wonderful Janmashtami, a Janmashtami that makes all the difference. And of course, to heighten the ecstasy, we will witness tomorrow the sannyas of Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. And such a thing is not ordinary by no means. Not ordinary by no means. So that is a unique opportunity to get so many more blessings. That we'll discuss tomorrow also in great detail. So with eagerness, we're looking forward to this Janmashtami celebration here in Nukaloka Dham, at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Sri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsava ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.